As one of Paul's earliest writings, this letter to the church in Galatia is addressing one of the issues of who is the gospel for and what are the requirements, refuting the need for the Gentiles to follow Jewish ritualistic practices, particularly in the area of circumcision, marking oneself outwardly to the inward faith. So Paul, in these two verses, is basically putting right off the beginning where his authority comes from, the source of the information to which he is proclaiming, to be able to explain, hey, maybe we need to think about doing things this way. So Saul came to know Jesus. But how did he come to know Jesus? Last week we talked about Saul's conversion to Paul on the road to Damascus. That's exactly right. He was going to persecute Christians, and if I read it correctly and if I remember incorrectly this morning, he was actually on his way to get Ananias, wasn't he? But on the way, he was blinded by a great light, unable to see, not knowing where he was going. And for 3 days, he remained in this state, didn't he? And in a vision, Ananias got a message from God. You need to go and find him. And even though Ananias didn't want to, he did it anyway. Laid his hands upon Saul, and things like scales fell from his eyes. Where did that vision come from? Who was the source of that vision to Ananias? Who said, go find Saul? Who said that? God did, right? So here we have Saul walking on the road to Damascus, and he is blinded, and he hears Jesus speak to him, why are you persecuting me, right? So Saul hears Jesus speak to him. Ananias has a vision where God is speaking to Ananias. And if we follow Saul's conversion to Paul and Paul's journey, we read in Acts 13 that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. There is something about communication from God, which one, we got to think about where is it coming from, right? Two, we need to listen, meaning that we need to hear. And three, we need to listen to that voice and do whatever it might say, right? If we look to Jesus, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, he says that even his sheep will recognize his voice. Meaning that Jesus is the shepherd, and those who belong to him hear his voice and will follow. There is something about listening that's important to our faith, important to how Paul is addressing it to this church in Galatia. How many of you have actually heard God say something to you? And what I mean by that is it doesn't necessarily mean to be, it doesn't have to be that loud booming voice that came out of heaven at the time when Jesus was baptized, right? It wasn't the loud booming voice of God on that mountainside when Jesus was transfigured, but it could be where you're sitting in quiet prayer. Or it could be when you're journaling, writing down the account of the day, or pouring your heart onto paper, just hoping to be listened to. Or maybe it's when you're in conversation. We've talked about sitting at the table and having a cup of coffee and saying something, and the other person, if you've been with me, then you know sometimes I will say, hey, that makes me think about this. Have you considered this? That God may speak to us not only in prayer, but in writing, but maybe through someone else. But how do we trust that this truly is God speaking to us? Right? How do we know? It could be not from God, or it could be from God. And that means, friends, that we have to have wise practices of discernment so that we can recognize when God speaks to us. Does that make sense? We have to have spiritual practices that allow us to wisely discern, testing by the Spirit, if what we are hearing is truly of God and from God. When I entered into divinity school, one of the things that they were very committed to was sustainability in ministry and sustainability in scholarly work. So we were required to do spiritual formation group on a weekly basis, I think it was. Man, it was hard getting there by 8:30 in the morning. But we spent the entire year with this group of classmates, all first years, journeying, drinking from the same fire hydrant, trying to figure out how are we going to live into this call from God. And one of the things that they asked and required of us, actually, was that we go on a spiritual retreat. Not necessarily with the small group that we met with on a weekly basis, but our other classmates. And how many of you have been to, I think it's called the Aqueduct in Chapel Hill? Do you know what I'm talking about? So they had us go for, I guess, what would have been a overnight retreat, where we showed up on Friday afternoon and we would leave Saturday afternoon so we could kind of get back into able to go to church on Sundays and still be able to benefit from that. Maybe it wasn't hard for me, but I know it was hard for some of my other friends. But they actually required us to be silent for a pretty good part of that. Could you imagine? Okay, folks, I want you to put your cell phones away, the distractions of the world. And you are not allowed to talk to anybody or anything until we break fast and worship in the morning. Talk about being in paradise. Like, man, for those who, you know, have to talk, to not have to talk was great, right? Because then we're not being peppered with things and having to respond. As a parent, you probably know what that might be like. But in that time of silence, we were encouraged to sleep. We were encouraged to pray, to walk the beautiful grounds. They had set up a table with a bunch of arts and craft supplies. Talk about my place of like, woohoo, yes! But in all of that, they gave us tools in which to enter into that time of silence and reflection in hopes that we would be able to actually hear God speak to us. Meaning that we had to be in a posture of listening so that we could hear. From that silence, I was drawn. And there's no other way to describe it. I was truly drawn to go to one particular place at this retreat center. And I don't know, I called it the shack, and I'm pretty sure that's what they called it as well. But it's this little wooden shack that was down the hill and through the grass. And for some reason, I knew I needed to go there. I knew I needed to enter into that space. So I did, and I was by myself, and it had this window, and light was kind of coming into the window. And as I looked around, I realized that people had written prayers onto the walls of this shack. And there was a place in which to light a candle and to read scripture. And in that space, I fell on my knees because I heard God speaking to me. You can do this. You are not in this alone. I am with you. It was such a powerful moment that I could never have anticipated ever experiencing. But without doubt, I knew that God was speaking to me in that moment, in that place, by the Spirit, in a time of need for. Thankfully, I didn't feel like I had to test it to make sure it was of God and from God, because in my heart of hearts, I knew. But if we talk about hearing the voice of God, friends, if we're really, truly honest about where we find ourselves today, if someone says to you, God spoke to me, we may dismiss. We may marginalize what they have to say, or maybe we'll simply ignore the fact that they would say, God's speaking through me. And why? Why is that? For us, truly, we find ourselves in a modern phenomena that is a byproduct of the Enlightenment, where reason trumps experience, right? If I can't scientifically prove it to be true, then it can't be true. But friends, this was not how it always was. Because in the life of the church, it is by the Spirit that God speaks in and through the church. It is by the Spirit that we are transformed, and by the Spirit the world is transformed. But we may sit with skepticism and think, we're not those holy rollers. We're not snake handlers. Because that's what we attribute to people who are taken by the Spirit, which is not necessarily accurate. Because to be taken by the Spirit is to be Pentecostal. Does that penta sound familiar to you? 50 days after Christ's death, we celebrate Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, so that God is always with us. If we as a church are truly going to be in postures of both speaking and listening, there are elements of what we would call mysticism that are necessary in our lives. And we might be a little skeptical to that, right? But do you remember the story that I shared where I went into that spiritual retreat and we were quiet and we prayed and we colored and we walked and we ate? Those are mystic practices. And those are the ways, a place in which we leave ourselves open to the very mystery of God. In order to receive the divine revelation of Jesus Christ, just as Paul did on that road to Damascus, leaving ourselves open to the reality that Jesus Christ absolutely changes our lives and the world. Being in a posture of mysticism is absolutely part of who we are as humans, and having a life in the Spirit. And as Methodists, This was embodied by John and Charles Wesley. John Wesley had a heartwarming experience at Aldersgate, where in that moment he was overcome by the Spirit to truly know that that gospel was for him, that that gift of salvation was for him, and that we believe that as being part of this body of Christ, that we are part of a holistic gospel, friends, that heals and redeems our bodies, that heals and redeems our minds, that heals our spirits, relationships with one another, our institutions, our broken churches. And it is by the Spirit that systems are transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this calls us, friends, to a place of openness. Are we ready for that? Are we as a church willing to open ourselves to God by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can actually hear what God is going to say to us? Because sometimes, friends, we like to talk to God, but we don't always want to listen to God. But we are called today to an openness because it matters. Because to be open to God allows us to know and follow the God who loves us. Openness allows us to be in a place to both listen and speak, but more importantly, puts us into proximity with God, a God who loves and who both listens and speaks to us. So friends, this week I'm going to invite you into space of openness. We'll talk a little bit more next week in the next couple weeks about how we might be able to wisely discern what we receive. But for this week, your homework is going to be to read chapter 2, yes? And here's the challenge for us. It's not solely the pastor's job to have an ear to the ground about how the Holy Spirit is moving. Certainly that's part. But you are all part of that as well. That it is our collective work that truly allows us to live into the gospel to bring about social holiness and transformation in the world. So this week, where in our community do you sense the Holy Spirit inviting us to pay attention to? So take a posture of openness, your prayer time, your walking time, your singing time, your sleeping time, because that's sometimes how I hear too. Then wrestle with this question this week, and I will wrestle alongside of you, trusting that the Holy Spirit truly will reveal God's will for us and for this church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.